Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
You can open up your Bibles to Judges chapter 15 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm delighted to be here today, and relationships do matter, because we wouldn't have even flown in this weekend had it not been for a relationship. But it was a relationship that, once again, it's just that chain of relationship upon a relationship that changes the lives of so many people around you. And for us to know Daniel and Carissa, and to be at the wedding on Friday of Daniel and Carissa's, was a result of our relationship with Pastor Mike and Julie. But we didn't just come to the wedding because we know Pastor Mike and Julie. We came to the wedding because of our relationship with Carissa and how that relationship has developed. And so it's just, and that will just keep leading to other relationships. And there's so many of you here that we feel like we're amazing friends with, that just spending intimate time with you on mission trips and things like that has developed a bond and intimacy that we just truly enjoy having with you, and we're honored to be your friends. You know, next week Pastor Mike and Pastor Kevin and Cruz and me, we head into the mountains and the Grand Tetons next week together for 10 days in the wilderness on a wilderness leadership intensive. Why? Because our relationships matter. And it's going to be strong. And those three, when we come out of that wilderness, we'll be forever transformed. And so just think about the decisions you make in life. I heard a long time ago something that really affected me drastically in my mindset about life and growth in mindsets is this, that you'll be impacted by three major things in life: the places you go, the people you meet, and the books you read. Wow. Everything in your life will be dictated by that. The places you go, just like I'm here today, came to Phoenix. I'm impacted by coming to Phoenix. Something happened as a result of me coming to Phoenix, because I'm not only dropping off something, I'm getting something as well from other people. Pastor Mike pours into me, and we're sharpening each other when we're in conversations, and so I get that, and I get to take it back. It's the places you go. It's the people you meet. You never know. You know, I was just back there in between services talking to one of my buddies that I've known throughout these last couple of years, and I asked him how his wife was, and I said, how is so-and-so? And he goes, well, she's doing good, but... And I go, well, do you know Dr. Wall? He goes, yeah, I know Dr. Wall. I go, you need to get her to Dr. Wall right now. Here's why you need to get her to Dr. Wall. Here's what she needs to do. Here's how she needs to do it. And she's going to be pain-free, and she's going to be healed. Come on. See, it's the places you go, the people you meet. It's important. His wife's life is going to be transformed forever because I gave him one little piece of advice: get to Dr. Wall, because she needs to be out of pain. Yes. So you got, and then the books you read. The books you read are going to be incredible. Especially this book right here. So let's read this book. Judges. Here's Samuel, Mr. Independent. If there's an independent story in the Bible, it's Samson. Did I say Samuel? Okay. Samson, not Samuel. Samuel was very dependent. Samson, independent. Chapter 15, verse 14. Here's Samson. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and the bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey have I struck down 1,000 men. This is not just a Bible story. This is a true account. Pastor Cruz said it in the last service that these aren't stories. These are accounts. This is an account of a mighty man of God who was the Spirit of God came upon him, and he slew 1,000 of his enemies with the jawbone of a donkey. It's a true story. So if it could be done then, it can be done again today. But the thing was, Samson was tired. You make really bad decisions when you're tired. But what happens, it says, as he finished speaking, he was thirsty, and he cried out to God, and he wanted water, and God gave him water and revived him. And then after that, though, he heads down to Gaza. So I'm going to pick it up in 16, verse 1. The Bible says, Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. Wrong relationships matter. You can be on top of the world one day, and the next day you head down to Gaza, and you find a prostitute, and you go into her. And then all of a sudden, the three big things happen about from being in wrong relationships. You start getting discouraged. You start getting depressed, and then you get defeated. And so if you've been living in any kind of life at all, it doesn't have to be the fact that you were with the prostitute, but if you've been living any kind of life at all where you've been discouraged, it's usually because there's either no relationship or wrong relationships that are occurring in and around you. But let's look at right relationships very quickly. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Timothy says, so Paul says to Timothy, "But you, Timothy, have closely followed my example and the truth that I've imparted to you. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. The faith I have, you now have. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. The patience I have with others, you now demonstrate." So this was the transference of what Jesus did in the life of Paul, transferred into Timothy, where Timothy's now living this, and he's transformed as a result. Because when you're in right relationships, you have trust for someone. Because you have trust that they have been with the Father, and they have intimacy with the Father through the Son Jesus, and you trust them, and because of that trust, they transfer something to you, and because of that transfer, you're transformed. You're not transformed by them, you're transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus. That's how you're transformed. And this was the life of Timothy, as so many of Paul's disciples. But Paul, where did Paul get that from? Paul got that from Jesus. So let's go to John 17 and really look at what I want to share with you the most. It's out of John 17. I believe in studying right relationships, the Bible is the best example. They're all throughout the Bible. I mean, we could talk for hours upon hours about relationships throughout the Bible that were right relationships. You know, you got Jonathan David, you got Ruth and Naomi, you've got Esther and Mordecai. You've got so many right relationships. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look at how they stood together. And they all three declared to Nebuchadnezzar. It said they declared to Nebuchadnezzar. Not just one of them, they did. Because they were in right relationship with each other, they were able to have the strength to stand up when they needed to stand. And so today's about understanding the value of right relationships. And I think it's best described in John 17 because it starts with our relationship with the Father that we can only have through the Son. And His name is Jesus Christ. And so here's Jesus having already discipled His disciples. Discipled His 12. He's got 11. Not every one of them are going to make it. And that's part of life. You know, Jesus had 12 and one didn't make it. And He's the King of the universe. So you can't consider yourself a failure because not everybody that you try to transfer life to, it doesn't work out well. But the key is you model Jesus and you obey Him and go to where He's called you to go and be with who He's called you to be with. But I guarantee you, it's not to be alone. It's not to not be in a life group. It's not to not be in a Bible study. It's not to be isolated and just come to church on a Sunday and sit there and get motivated by a message and then go home and say, well, I also listen to podcasts all week and that really helps me. Well, that could really help you. That's awesome. But is that transferring to anybody? Is it transforming you? Because if it's transforming you, it'd be transferring. You can't say I'm transformed if you're not transferring. Because transfer leads to transformation, and transformation leads to you transferring. So, let me not jump ahead too far and go to what Jesus says about this subject. Trust, transfer, and transformation. As I was studying John 17, what I found in here, as I read the whole chapter, the issue of trust occurred 5 times in his prayer to God. The issue of transferring occurred 10 times in his prayer to God. And the issue of transformation occurs 8 times in this one chapter. in his prayer to God. 5 times trust, 10 times transfer, 8 times transformation, all in one chapter. That's a powerful chapter because it's all about unity, and it's about the intimacy of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you, and Him and you, and you and Him, and you being one, and transferring that to one another, loving God and loving others. That can only happen in right relationships. So here's Jesus in verse 2. He says, "You've already have given me authority," which is translated responsibility. So he said, "God, you've already given me the responsibility over all these people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given me." So here's trust. God, you trusted me. Jesus saying, "Thank you for trusting me, God. You gave me this responsibility, and now I've been able to transfer you the gift of eternal life to these people." So what does that mean for us? Thank you, God, for giving me this so I can now go do this. You don't have to wear a yellow shirt to do it. You just make a decision. Hope that makes sense to you. And then he goes on down in verse 6. "Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women that you gave me." Transfer. I transferred who you are to these others. They were yours, and you gave them to me. Trust. "And they have fastened your word firmly to their hearts." Skip down to verse 8. "And the very words you gave to me to speak, I have passed on to them." What is our role? To do what Jesus did. He said, "Teach and obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always to the ends of the age." Go do. He said, you pass on what you freely receive, freely give. You pass it on. But he said, "Father, I did it. I transferred to them. They have received your words and carried them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent you." They fully believe. They've been transformed. So these transformed disciples, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go transform the world. That's why we're in this church, because these 11 guys that were left did what the same thing that Jesus is talking about right here, which is our mandate. Relationships matter. Verse 10, "For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well." Transfer. "And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives." Transformed. Jesus, he said, "My glory is revealed through their surrendered lives." They surrendered. What I transferred to them caused them something to happen in their heart where they just surrendered. They just said, "Okay, I surrender. I will follow you anywhere, to the ends of the earth. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll die for you." That's transformation. What did Paul say? "I'm now crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Amen. He surrendered. Yes. That's why he was able to transfer to Priscilla and Aquila. That's why he was able to transfer to Apollos. That's why he was able to transfer to Timothy. And that's why they were transformed. And that's why we're here. Because of that duplicable process of John 17. In verse 12 he says, "While I was with these that you have given me, I have kept them safe by your name that you have given me." Trust. I did what you asked me to do. Question, church. Can God trust you? Can He trust you? Can He trust you to go into all the world and preach the gospel? To go into your neighborhood and preach the gospel? To go to your neighbor? To obey the little prompting of talking to somebody at a certain place, of a certain establishment where He prompts you to talk to them and just kick up a conversation? You never know where it might go. But he has a meaning for it. Can he trust you? Can he trust you to start a Bible study? You think you're not capable, but you have this word right here that does it all. You think you're not enough, and you're not smart enough, and you're not good enough, and you don't know enough of the Bible. And God's saying, "No, that's irrelevant. I know I'm all powerful and all knowing, and I'm everywhere. All you have to do is open this up and start reading it with those 4 or 5 people that you got to your house, and watch what I will do. I will teach you everything you need to know through my word." That's what God is saying. But it's a decision that you have to decide that you're going to obey God. And if you obey God, you are going to get a revelation that relationships matter. You cannot live an isolated life and win. You'll be like Samson. You'll get your eyes gouged out and you'll wind up in severe depression and in slavery and you'll miss your destiny. I don't believe Samson's destiny was to finally just break some pillars and for that and for the temple to come crashing down on those guys. I don't think that was his destiny. Can God take evil and turn it into good? Absolutely. But I think Samson was meant for more than that. But he fell into a trap. And he got into a wrong relationship. And he got isolated. And he tried to do everything on his own strength. And the enemy got to him. So, where was I? Let me go to verse 14. He says, I have given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. For their allegiance is no longer to this world. Because I am not of this world. So he's telling God now, Lord, look what I did. For their allegiance is no longer this world. I've transferred to this message to them, and now they're transformed. Their allegiance is no longer to all this football stuff, to all this NFL stuff, this NBA stuff. You know, they may watch it every now and then, but they're not addicted to it. They're not addicted to all the video games. They may play a video game every now and then, but they're not doing it 24/7. You know, they're not binge watching everything on Netflix all the time. They're actually doing something. They're in the Word. They don't have their smartphone in front of them every single minute. Now, God, they've forsaken their allegiance to those things, and now their allegiance is to you. And because of that, they can have those things moderately, but now their allegiance is to you. What is your allegiance to today? Is your allegiance to your smartphone and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok? Is your allegiance to your gaming till 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. every morning? Is your allegiance to watching sports all day long? You know, is your allegiance to alcohol? Is your allegiance to being buried in front of a computer shopping all day long? Binge shopping? And do I need to go on further? You're getting the drift. What's your allegiance to? If we're getting in right relationship, things are going to get transferred into our life. We'll be transformed where our allegiance will no longer be to those things, but they'll be to God Almighty. They'll be to love God and to love others in such a way that your life will never be the same and neither will theirs. He goes on to say, I have commissioned them in verse 10. I've commissioned them to represent me, just as you commissioned me to represent you. Transfer. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. Transformation. Verse 22, for the very glory you've given to me, I've given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Transfer and transformation. Because he said, the very glory you've given me, I've given them to you. I've given to them so that they can be joined in unity. They can be transformed. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. So he's saying, you live fully in me. I live fully in them. Check that out. You live fully in me. Now I live fully in them. Right relationship. This is what Jesus wants. This is the intimacy that he wants. So that they will experience perfect unity. So that when we all sit together, we're not just sitting together with 22 minutes and 56 seconds left in a service and getting a good word is going to motivate you. We're sitting together because sometimes the very person that's sitting next to you, God sent them to sit there next to you, and you don't even realize it was for the very purpose of a divine connection. Because they may be from another tribe or another tongue or another nation. And you may be thinking, this is kind of awkward. We usually don't take Filipinos to our house on Sunday and eat with Filipinos. Because we are Caucasian, and that's just kind of how we roll. Or, I don't know about, you know, this African person sitting next to me from Nigeria. I don't know about that. You know, I don't know if that'll be comfortable to take them over to my house and then we have to entertain them all day and all this. No, you don't realize that sometimes the very answer to your prayers is that Nigerian that's sitting right next to you that you're afraid to just take the time to say, tell me your story. And all of a sudden, you're just going, whoa. Honey, did you hear that? These people are amazing. Man, their career, their life, the story, why they're here. And then all of a sudden you have these new friends. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in Nigeria 8 months later and you're changing the world. Because God sent them to America to meet you, to take you to Nigeria, to cross-pollinate. I mean, that's my story with Kenyans and I mean, that could be anything. I've seen it over and over. I've seen people in our church that I've known has been a multimillionaire sitting in the chair with no one will talk to them. And but if they knew they were multimillionaires, everybody would have been going, "Hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you. My name's Danny. Oh, yeah. Hey, come on. Can you? Hey, why don't you? We're having barbecue today. You want to come over to our house? I think it'd be great to get to know you. Because you heard, hey, that guy over there, he's a multimillionaire. See, but God sent him, you not knowing, so that you could meet him first and know his story and eventually find out that he's a multimillionaire and that there's actually purpose in that. And how you're going to connect in the world. Because he's from the Congo. I know this guy. And he's 23 years old. And no one in our church connected with him. I was the first guy to connect with him 6 months later. Because I kept thinking our church was connecting with him. And I got him to the side and started talking to him. And I started discipling him. And I started getting in his life. Realizing no one in our church really cared about this multimillionaire from the Congo. Who was full of life and just a young mighty warrior. But that could be anybody. God wants you in this church to value right relationships. And it's not about color, creed. It's not about what tribe or tongue or nation they're from. But it is about that. It's about that in God's eyes. Because he's trying to interweave you and interconnect you. So that you can change the world. Some of you that have dreams in your heart. Of different places and joy and adventure and different stuff like that. You have dreams. And the answer to your dreams are one row away. And God has them one row away right now. But sometimes we don't love enough in our church. We say we love God, but then we don't love others. We say we love God, but we don't want to share our barbecue. We say we love God, but we don't want to take any time out to get in a life group and get in this word and sit with four or five people or six or eight people and start sharpening each other with the word of God from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Men of different colors in different countries, in the same living room together, studying this word. And all of a sudden you realize the very answer to your prayer about going on this wondrous adventure or going to that country is actually in your living room right now. And you didn't even know it. But God connected it divinely. But you've got to start surrendering. You've got to surrender to Jesus. You have to surrender to God's plan for your life. And you can't be a Samson for the rest of your life. You can't be a Delilah for the rest of your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you say you love God, you've got to start acting like it. And I'm not saying you're not acting like it, but I'm saying if it's in you right now and you're not acting like it, it's time that you start acting like it. And somebody's got to stand in front of you and look you in the eye, like I'm trying to look every one of you in the eye right now, and tell you, relationships matter. It's time to get rid of selfishness. It's time to get rid of your self-centered agenda. It's time to quit thinking about yourself all the time, and it's time to start fellowshipping with your fellow believers so you can truly walk like Jesus said we're supposed to walk right here in John 17 in unity. Yes. Because he said this, and the world would be convinced that you have sent me. Is the world convinced that you really love Jesus? That's what I want to know. You sure are being strong? Yeah, I'm being strong. You know why I'm being strong? Because sometimes you need it. My life changed when a man stood one day in a room and I was a heathen, still snorting cocaine, still drinking, still partying. But I saw a man call a guy out and say, you need to stay out of the friggin' bars and quit practicing hedonism. That's what you need to do and your business might grow. He said, You can't build this business in the nudie bar, Sean. And I'm sitting right next to Sean. And Sean never came back. But you know what? Danny went home. And the whole time I'm driving home, I go, he was talking to me. He was talking to me. I can follow that man to the ends of the earth. I finally met a man that is uncompromising. I finally met a man that I can follow. And it's that guy. And that guy led me into a me and Diane both into an incredible career in network marketing that has touched tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One man's strength is still having a ripple effect throughout the world. So that every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will get me to do this right now, what I'm doing with you. Because I know there's somebody in here today, or maybe there's more than one person here today, just needs to hear, it's time to surrender. It's time to get to know Jesus in such a way you've never known Him before. It's time to get intimate with the Father like you've never been intimate with Him before. It's time to quit playing patty cake with the name of Jesus. Yeah. And it's time to truly represent Him if you say you love Him. Because He said, "In the world be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me." And so, what is our command to love? It's to love people. And we can't do that without relationship. And then finally, down at verse 26, he says, I've revealed to them who you are. I've transferred, God. I've revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. So here's what God's wanting. He's wanting to develop a relationship with us in such a way like He had with the Father. Where it's I live in you and you live in me and we live in them. And now they become one. So if this is true, are we becoming one? Are we in a life group? And you don't even have, I don't even care if you call it a life group. Are you in fellowship with other believers? Yes. Because if you're not, that's not matching up to what this says. And that's not a guilt trip. I'm just trying to tell you, mine and Diane's life is only a result of when we finally got it right. I was 33 years old. She was 30. I mean, I got saved at the age of 33. But you know the first thing that I did? Started a Bible study on Wednesday. Got saved on Friday night. Started a Bible study when I got back home on Wednesday. Yeah. Diane starts a Bible study. We don't know what we're doing, but you know who I invited? I invited an ex-pastor and elementary teacher and pastor who was a pastor's son. He was about 10 years older than me. I invited him. I invited a leader, another mentor of mine that was just a business friend that was about 10 years older than me too, that was a leader in the Baptist church. Those were the two main guys I wanted in my Bible study because I knew they had to know something more than I did, and they could transfer some. We could talk about the Bible, and at least they would keep me from looking like an idiot. And we started learning together. And they would transfer these biblical principles to me, and so I got transformed. I grew fast. And I just kept on with Bible studies. And so Diane did the same thing, and we grew very rapidly because that was only 23 years ago because I'm 56 now. But what I'm here to tell you is, you know, in our industry, we weren't pastors. We weren't leaders in our church. We came to church. We went to church every Sunday. We actually, at that time, we're going to a mega church. So there was 5,000 people. No one knew us. We'd go there. But you know what? We knew others. Because we had Bible studies. We had worship nights at our house. We had prophecy nights at our house. We had any kind of night at our house we could to gather people and pour into their life and fellowship with them and sharpen each other. Yes. And then through the years in our business and network marketing, you know, what we did, our only goal in network marketing was to do ministry in the life of people. And we called it marketplace ministry. Pastors aren't the only ones who do ministry.
Right.
You know, Paul built tents with Priscilla and Aquila. He had a business with them. And theologians will argue that stuff, man. The religious ones like to tell you Paul didn't work. Paul worked. Which I'm not telling you, you have to work and have a job, but that's what Paul did. So we all have different assignments, and those assignments are mandated by God. And if it's marketplace ministry, then what that means is we, relationships matter.
Yes.
So everything that we've seen that has impacted people's lives in drastic ways forever, for the most part, has happened in a living room. It's happened in small groups with, like, two of us meeting with one person that needed some help, or meeting with marriages, or having Bible studies and meeting with people in the living room, or small worship nights. But you've got to make a decision that relationships really do matter, and that divine connections are going to come from God based upon all the dreams you have, all the goals that you're setting, all the things you want in life. You know, the Bible says, delight yourself and it gives you the desires of your heart. And so sometimes we even struggle with, is that verse really real? Does that really mean I get the desires of my heart? Well, it says if you delight yourself in the Lord. But the thing is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you will be studying the Bible with other people. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll be pouring your life into other people. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll be in right relationship with other people, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But it doesn't say if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means you watch a lot of podcasts and you go to church every Sunday, therefore He'll give you the desires of your heart. No, because He can't trust you. He's not going to give you all those things because He can't trust you yet. He can't trust you to transfer what He's given you because He's already given you enough to transfer, but you haven't transferred it yet. And He's waiting on you to transfer what He's given you so He can trust you with more and give you the desires of your heart. But that hasn't happened yet. So, will you step out? Will you step out? I'm telling you, there's so many divine connections for your life based on your goals, your dreams, your heart, everything. They are waiting. You're one person away. You're one divine appointment away. It's just one step away every time. You're one step away from Jesus, and you're also one step away from your destiny because of that person that you need or they need you. And you start realizing, wow, if it wasn't for me coming to this church, this wouldn't, like Carissa, like Daniel Kim, you know, marrying Carissa. Had Daniel, like Pastor Julie was telling us how Daniel wound up here. If it wasn't for this happening, that happened, Daniel wouldn't have wound up here, and then Chris and him wouldn't have gotten married. It's just, but it's always about relationship. Will you step into new relationships? I charge you today to step into new relationships. When Diane and I needed a stronger marriage, we didn't have people around us. This was back in 2001. We didn't have people around us that could pour into our marriage, and we needed it, and we wanted it. We didn't have a bad marriage, but we knew we wanted more, and we wanted to be around like Christian accountability partners, and strong married couple. And we prayed 2 weeks later. A buddy of mine's name kept coming through. This guy's name kept coming through my mind that I hadn't seen in 15 years since I saw him on a college football field, who I only knew for a week at Texas Boys State when we were in high school. And I called him, and he was a Young Life leader, and boom, God put it together, and we realized this is the couple that's going to sharpen us because they have a strong marriage and they're Christians. And we wound up moving to Nashville together 2 years later and living next door to each other for 3 years. He's a pastor, he's a head football coach, he's a pastor, and he's a theologian, and God answered our prayer. He divinely connected. So you got to pray for new relationships. Today may be the day you come up here to the altar and you come right up here and you go, I need change in my life. I need new relationships. And if that's you, that's going to happen today. Come on. For some of you, you hadn't even got to the Jesus part yet. You haven't really surrendered to Jesus yet. And today's your day where you're going to come and say, okay, I got to surrender because I don't want to be Samson the rest of my life. I don't want to be where my life keeps having, you know, disappointments, discouragement, depression, and defeat. Because I'm telling you, church, if we're not right with Jesus and we're not surrendered to Jesus Christ and not under His Lordship and we're not in right relationship with others, you're going to have a life of discouragement. You're going to have a life that's going to lead to depression. Even if it's not clinical, it's still going to be depression because you're isolated and the enemy's showing every fiery dart at you and those darts are penetrating you and they're bringing defeat to your life in every area and you can't figure out why. Does everything keep falling apart around me? And I'm telling you right now, it's because you don't have Jesus as your King. And today that can change. Yeah. Today you need, so there's maybe two or three of you, maybe four of you, I don't know, but there's somebody in here today, you haven't surrendered your life truly to Jesus yet. You may know who Jesus is, but you haven't surrendered, and today's your day that you're going to come up here and pray. But today's the day of change. When we pray up here in a minute, people, there's going to be change happen. Because you're going to start getting in community with people. You're going to start letting people transfer things to you that you yet do not yet have. And it's going to transform your life forever. And you're going to forever be marked. And you're going to forever be grateful for what God does in your life. Starting on this day forward. There's major change about to happen. This change is growing. This church is growing. This church is flourishing. This is one of the healthiest churches I've ever seen. But there's some of you that still are not partaking of that. There's still some of you, and Pastor Mike didn't tell me anything about, like, preach this and preach that. Can you just tell them, get in a life group? Can you please tell them that? No. He said, here's what I want you to preach on, relationship matters. I go, I can do that. But what I'm telling you is that it's just like when you hear, like, we're all about relationship. You're all about relationship. Well, nobody talks to me. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes in the transformational process, awareness has to come first. And when you realize, when a pastor sits up here and preaches the week before about how much you matter, first you got to believe that you matter. God loves you, and you matter. There's not one person in this room that matters any more than the other in the eyes of God. You matter. God loves you. But you got to start figuring that out, that He loves you. Because you can't receive love from people, because some of the filters that you filter things through is through the filter of rejection. And it's past wounds. And the very people that really would connect with you, you won't allow them to connect with you because you won't let them get close enough because you don't trust. Because there's mistrust in your life. So there's various wounds that people carry into church, and they wonder why. Well, no one's connected with me. No one's asked me to be in a life group. No one asked me to go to the Bible study. I mean, this really cool church everybody talks about, and I've been coming here for 6 months, and still, I haven't seen any relationships really kind of evolve in my little world here. Well, this is where you got to make a sober judgment of yourself and where you're at. And I'm not saying you're a bad person or anything's wrong with you, but you got to start asking yourself tough questions. And you got to ask them to God, Lord, what is it? What is it that I'm doing that is repelling people? What is it that I'm doing that is not allowing me to connect with people, or people won't ask me to come to their house, or I just really can't seem to get in connection and relationship with people? There's so many different variables, but it's usually triggers from the past. It's wounds that you've been carrying since childhood. I mean, we all have stuff that happens to us. I was molested as a child. Diane could stand up here and tell you her testimony about molestation and rape and things like that. Many of us have been through various things, and those various things wound us. Those various things, trauma, the ways we've been treated by our parents, the way we've been raised, chaotic households and controlling households. And there's all these things that trigger our behaviors, dysfunctional families, and living for 20-something years in a dysfunctional family and then coming to a functional environment, and we can't even handle getting into relationships with someone because something always triggers that causes us to back off again. And then we won't allow ourselves to get close to people. We won't get in those relationships. We won't get in that life group. We won't join. Because sometimes what happens, so it could be wounds. Sometimes it's because of our past history of rejection and isolation and defeat and failure that when we do get a chance to talk, we just don't shut up. So now when we get to with someone, it's just you tell people stories, for 20 minutes, and they're just like, and they're going, honey, we're not inviting them to our house. We're not getting in a Bible study with them. And you're going, well, how come no one connects with me? It's because you don't shut up. So, there's things you have to learn. You have to start learning awareness. I'll give you an example of how acute you have to be in awareness. The other night at the wedding, I'm sitting at the table, and I'm talking to Pastor May. And me and May are talking, and it's loud, so I'm leaning in, I'm talking to her. And I saw her eyes get real big, and she had a different smile, and her eyes got real big, and she turned her head, and immediately I stopped and glanced, and it was Carissa, the bride. And I was telling May some important stuff. She was asking for the information about stuff. We were having this conversation where I'm just right in the middle of it. You know what I did? I shut up. You know why? Because the bride was there. And May, what I had to say was irrelevant. Because what May is one of her pastors, one of her friends, intimate friends. So I needed to shut up and let her focus on the bride and let the bride talk to her. We could always talk about that later if it even picked up again. Are you that aware of what's going on around you? Even at church on Sundays. But no, sometimes we got to pin Pastor Cruz, you know, hey, Pastor Cruz, good to see you. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, you're still right here. And Pastor Cruz is just still nodding his head. And he's going, what are we going to do with this person? And you're wondering why you don't have any friends. We got to get aware of our environment. Now, I'm not beating on you. I'm trying to help you in the area of having right relationships. Because every one of you are capable of that. Every one of you are capable of beginning to get the lens of Jesus. Right here, John 17. If you start getting the lens of Jesus, and you start realizing that you have this intimacy with the Father that came through the Son, where you are now in Him and He is in you and you have become one, you can develop the courage to start meeting people and listening to the still small voice or these promptings that, hey, I need to go talk to that person today. For some reason, I just think I'm supposed to introduce myself to that couple. And then you're out in the lobby and you introduce them and you start talking to them. You go, wow, well, hey, let's get together this week. Can we meet at, you know, Panera? Can we meet at Starbucks? Or can we meet at Culver's and really have some custard or something like that? And all of a sudden, life changes. Here's the key. This is your time. This is your time. This is your epiphany moment. This is your wake-up call. That it, now is the time for Jesus Christ. And now is the time for you to start transferring Jesus Christ to others. And if there's not enough Jesus Christ that's been transferred to you yet, that's okay. Because there's enough people in this church that if you start getting in a life group and getting involved with them, they will transfer like I needed from Ronnie Chance and from what I needed David Williams, those two men. I needed a transfer from those two men after I got saved. I needed something they had, and I was willing to get in the living room, sit down, shut up, open my Bible, and get David and Ronnie to start transferring. So if you don't have enough Jesus yet, that's time for you to get transferred to, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to transform you. You'll never be the same. And then you're going to transfer this to others, and they're never going to be the same. And then you're going to see this ripple effect throughout Phoenix, throughout the world, and that God's going to take you to the ends of the earth and change your life forever if you start realizing that relationships matter. So stand with me. Today's your day. Pastor Mike, come up here and let's bring the prayer team up, because it's time to get right with Jesus.
Come on, ministry team, come on up. Pastors, the leaders, come on, join us. Let's get a few extras up here. You want me to talk now? You know, first service, I thought about the power of connections, and you know, we're 6 degrees away from every relationship in the world. Means you're 6 relationships away. The people you know, the connections you have, from those connections, you are connected to everyone in the world. Meaning, only it could be 3. Like I'm 2 connections away from the Pope. Okay, I'm 3 connections away from the former president. I am, you know, 1 connection away from the most important one, the creator of the universe, Jesus. He connects me to Him. The power of relationship. And freely I've received, freely I have to give. And as I give, I make more room for more of Him. It keeps it fresh. And relationships are powerful. And God is all about relationship. If you've been here more than 1 week, you know that we recognize that. We make this audacious claim to be a church that's all about relationship. Why? Because our God is relationship. Our God is a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is all about relationship. And if you say you're in good relationship with God, guess what? You're going to be in good relationship with one another. Because John said this. If you say you love God who you can't see, and you don't love your brother and sister who you can see, the Bible says you're a liar. If you claim to be in a great relationship with God, yet you are not in great relationships with others, you're not in a great relationship with God. But here's the good news. You can get in a great relationship with God, which then will in turn cause you to be in great relationships with the others. See, you can actually figure out how good a relationship people are in with God by the relationships they have with those in their lives. No question, my wife will reveal how close I am with God in any given moment. When we're out of relationship, we're not in good relationship, my relationship with God is not that great. Because if it was, He would instruct me to get right with my wife. And every time relationships let you down is a moment that you can invest in that relationship. Every time you receive love and forgiveness from God is a time God invests in you. I don't know about you, but God has invested so much in me because He's forgiven me of so, so much. That's why I know He loves me. And the closer I get to Him, the more I recognize how much He loves me, because I see how far away I am in perfection. But Jesus perfects me. His love in me perfects me. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for deciding 2,000 years ago that we mattered. We mattered. Lord, You made that decision before we were even created. Lord, You had a plan for us. You knew us in our mother's womb. We mattered to You. We matter. Today, as we close in worship and we close out service, those of you who are online as well, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is God speaking to you? Do you need to get right in your relationship with Him? Do you need to get right with your relationship with others? Many times, the need to get right with your relationship with others begins by getting right with your relationship with God. So let's take that moment together. Even right now, as the Holy Spirit would say, that person doesn't have safe passage in your mind. Or even right now, you go, you know what? I gotta get into a Bible study. I gotta get into relationship, because I know my destiny, my purpose is connected to relationship. If anything's resonated with you, God's spoken to you right now about anything that you need to surrender, because it is all about a surrendered life. Is there anything right now that God would be speaking to you, whether you're here in person or online, that you would say, I need to surrender this? If you have something you know God is putting His finger on right now and say, I need to surrender this, would you lift up your hand? Say, there is something. I know He spoke. I need to surrender this. I need to surrender this. Hallelujah. All over this place, I'm sure online, hands are being raised right now saying, I surrender. Come on, if you're able, raise two hands in surrender. Say, God, I surrender. Just say, God, I surrender. Say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender to Your love. I surrender to Your forgiveness. I surrender to You. I surrender this. Just release this. Give it to Him. It could be your career. It could be a relationship. Whatever it is, just go, God, I surrender this. I surrender this to You. I surrender my selfishness. I surrender my fear. I surrender my doubts. I surrender my finances. I surrender it to You, King Jesus. Would you pray this? Say, Jesus, I surrender to You, to Your love. I receive Your forgiveness. I surrender my heart and my life to You. You are my King. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.